Good afternoon. The September 16th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We're going to pause for the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand. To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a blue speaker card and give it to staff. If you are participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature or fill out the blue speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. All right, I need a motion to approve the agenda.
Cole's motion to approve the agenda.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. We had a personnel committee meeting. No decisions were made. We also had a finance committee meeting, and no decisions were made. There are no items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are no items requested to be withdrawn. On the consent agenda, we have approval of the August 5th, 2025 MPC meeting minutes. We have a minor subdivision, Parcel A, Parcel B, and Parcel C, Rivers End, 8730 Rivers End Drive. Is there anyone here who wanted to speak on that topic? Okay. We also have a major subdivision, Bradley Point, Phase 7, Bradley Boulevard. Is there anyone here to speak on that topic? All right. And finally, we have an authorization for the Executive Director, CEO, to execute and file FY 2027 FTA Transit Planning Grant. Is there anyone here to speak on that item? All right. I'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve consent agenda items 3 through 6.
Ross, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We have no old business. Our first item in regular business is a map amendment rezoned from OIE to BC to RMF 11965 Apache Avenue.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and the members of the board. My name is Subhashi Karunaratna. I'm a planner from the MPC. I'll be presenting the staff findings and recommendations for 11965 Apache Avenue. Here, the petitioner is requesting a rezoning of a split zone parcel to a multifamily 2 to 25. Here you can see the plume and the zoning maps. And as you can see here, this black outlined parcel is what we're talking about. And it has two zoning designations. One is office and institutional expanded, and the other is community business. And the petitioner wants this whole parcel to be rezoned as residential multifamily 2 with a density of 25 units per acre. This rezoning request is consistent with the existing FLUM designation, which is residential general. This right here is the concept plan. It's not a situated plan, but it gives you the idea of like what the proposal is going to look like. So in the section where currently it is zoned as OIE, they're proposing 3 multifamily buildings, and across the access easement that provides access to the existing apartments, Ramsey Run apartments, we have the community business zoned part of the parcel. And this right here is a aerial view where you can get a better idea. So this is the existing Ramsey Run apartments, and the part where they're proposing the development is currently vacant. And over here, there is a drainage pond, which is part of the community business zoned part of the parcel. If we go to the zoning history, prior to 2006, the existing apartments and the parcel we're talking about with another parcel in the southern part was one big parcel, and it had RM25 zoning. And they went through a rezoning to PBC to develop mini storage warehouse facilities, but I believe they didn't get developed. In 2010, they subdivided. This portion was then developed as a Dollar General. And right now, the request is to bring back this section of the parcel of the development back to RMF2 zoning district. So based on the findings, we recommend approval for this rezoning request.
Thank you. Is the petitioner here?
Madam Chair, Josh Vialan here today on behalf of Christopher Woods, LLC. We also have a representative from the entity, Mr. Joey Chapin, who is here, but we'd like to thank Subhashi for the staff recommendation for approval. This is a relatively straightforward petition that we think this was a holdover most likely from Nuzo, that with that prior rezoning in 2006 and 2010, the Dollar General was built that exists. So that southern portion was zoned BC, where the self-storage mini warehouse was intended to go. That became office institutional expanded, where a self-storage mini warehouse is allowed. That resulted in a split zoning, but that also results in a zoning where we would like to be able to reutilize this site for multifamily. We believe obviously it's an appropriate location for multifamily, adjacent to the existing facility, adjacent to the mall, adjacent to bus lines, a good location for it. No need to change the future land use map. And in fact, multifamily is permitted under the OIE now. And when we had made our initial request, we were going to rezone the southern portion to OIE. After discussing with staff, they said, well, the adjacent site is multifamily RMF 225. Can we make the whole site RMF 225 for some continuity? We said, of course. And so we are here today with a staff recommendation for approval to rezone to RMF 225. And we would hope that you would approve the same. And happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. Are there any questions for the petitioner or for staff? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I do have one speaker, Sunny Dixon.
I'll pass. My questions have been answered.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any discussion? No questions, no comments?
Calls motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Full second.
All right, I have a motion and a second on the floor. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. All right, our next agenda item is a map amendment rezoned from RA to R316, 1514 Grove Point Road.
Madam Chair and members of the board, I am Tsubashi again. Here in this application, the petitioner is asking for rezoning. This parcel is situated in the unincorporated Chatham County, and the existing zoning of the parcel is residential agriculture. As you can see here in this map, it's one parcel in a very large zoning district that is RA. And also the Flume map says that the parcel and majority of the parcels in the vicinity are zoned as residential, suburban, single family. So the request is to rezone this parcel into multifamily residential with a density of 16 units per acre. And this request is not consistent with the existing Flume map. And this right here is the proposed development concept, and it's going to be a quadplexes. And this is an aerial view of the subject property. You can see it over here. And behind the property, you have Abercorn Street, and in front, you have Grove Point Road. And this is a single-family residential neighborhood in the vicinity. So when considering this rezoning, three major things to think about is the traffic generation, availability of utilities, and compatibility with the existing character of the neighborhood. Since this is a vacant parcel, there will be added traffic to Grove Point Road. And then utility capacity is that the parcel has City of Savannah Water, unincorporated Chatham, stormwater connection, but it doesn't have public sewer connections to the parcel. So that is a major factor that governs the density in the parcel. Third, the consistency with the neighborhood character. Multifamily residential development is not consistent with the neighborhood because majority is single family detached housing. Also, the parcel is within the 500-year and 100-year flood zone, so there might be other mitigation standards that the development might have to follow. Based on that, MPC staff believes that this is not the best zoning district suitable for the parcel. There might be other options the applicant can delve into to increase the density, maintaining the neighborhood character in the place. So three main things to consider is consistency with the neighborhood, public sewer services, and maintaining the development standards. Keeping that in mind, MPC staff recommends denial for this particular rezoning request.
Thank you. Is the applicant here? Please state your name for the record.
Yes, good afternoon. I am Fernando Barbosa. I put the application for the rezoning in this property. So I'm looking for 16 units in that property. Anyway, I received the week ago, I received the mail and declined the application because she explained what is the problem. So I can maybe, because the density, the 16 units, I know is a little high for the traffic in some other situations. Anyway, maybe I can reduce to 8 units.
Okay. Are there questions for the applicant or for staff? I have a question. Can you tell me how you plan to provide sewer?
Yes, I talked with the...
I'm sorry?
I talked with the city.
Okay. Had you talked with the city about this?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Had you considered that the land use that is proposed there doesn't agree with the future land use map? Did you talk with the planners here before you brought this application forward?
I've been in the meeting, in the meeting around a couple of months ago.
I'm sorry?
A couple of months ago, I've been in the meeting here okay. in the other building, and they told me about the single families. Anyway, not talk about the rezoning.
Okay. Generally, when we have an application like this, there is a future land use application request change because the future land use map really doesn't call for the density that you are suggesting. And the fact that there's no sewer is a concern to us, certainly. Are there any other questions? All right. And we had no citizens who wanted to speak.
May I ask the city manager, is there any possibility that there would be city connection there for sewer and water?
Once a property is annexed into the city.
But so it's not been annexed right at this point in time, correct?
Not to my knowledge, nor do I have knowledge of any conversation. Doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. So I would say that it appears though there may just be some administrative steps that weren't taken here. I'm asking a question, Chairwoman, so if I'm out of order, let me know. Is the request for denial, because the flume was not included? Is it a process denial?
That's one factor.
Okay.
Mostly because it's not consistent with the neighborhood character.
Yeah.
And he can achieve the same density going through a single family subdivision and then going for a single family development.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Mr. Notrika, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Ms. Bowles?
Would the petitioner and staff, I have a question for staff as well. Would it be appropriate to recommend a continuation until we have some additional conversation?
Yes, I think that would be appropriate. And right here is the city water supply. Okay. And this green line or the blue line is the stormwater. And there's no sewer connection. This is the property.
And the sewer, I guess, is in there as well. Is that the green and black hatched?
I'm not sure.
Oh, there's sewer system.
Water, sewer.
You click on the sewer system.
Sewer, no, water.
In the county.
Yeah, sorry. Water is the blue. Yes, green hatched is the sewer.
Okay.
So it just stops like.
So there would be some considerable infrastructure that would be needed to supply this property for sewer. But I defer to your motion.
Finish with discussion.
Yeah.
Do we have a date certain for the next 2 weeks?
October 28th or November 18th.
And would the postponement allow staff to work with the petitioner on a future land use map amendment request or
and
to
maybe
change?
Even a more appropriate
okay.
zoning designation, but
understood.
Give them a chance to work with staff and either move forward with something or withdraw.
Okay. Thank you. And could I also ask MPC staff to, if there are any questions about water and sewer, to forward those over to city staff too, so we can answer any petitioner's requests as it relates to that. Thank you.
Anything else? Ms. Ross, did you have?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Let's continue it. All right, I'm going to make a motion to continue the petition until the November 18th meeting, which would give the city staff city and staff and the petitioner work together to work on the water and sewer issues, whether there's any annexation, the future land use map, and any other issues that might. Oh, and the density on the property.
Cole, second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens? And Mr. Woodwoody?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm waiting for you to go ahead. Variance to GDP is our next item, 6203 and 6207 Abercorn Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. This is a request for a variance to a general development plan at 6203 and 6207 Abercorn. This is a site where a current office use is being proposed for redevelopment for hotel use. And there's a site adjoining this that this board may remember. It considered a rezoning back in 2021 to rezone what is now known as the Spoke. It was a hotel to residential, multifamily residential conversion that you see is RMF2-30 indicated on your zoning map right now. And that conversion is what's necessitating variance relief for a required buffer for a hotel adjoining a multifamily residential use. You can see that the subject property is zoned BC, and in looking at future land use, this is within a commercial designation along Abercorn and also adjoining White Bluff. Just to orient you to the site, it is outlined in red. There would be a recombination of two existing parcels here, and in about this location, if you're able to see my cursor, is where you would see a new hotel developed. There's a property line right here adjoining what is now Bespoke here in Savannah, and it's at this location here where the zoning ordinance require a buffer, and there are a number of ways by which developers can create those or meet the buffer requirement, and so it's at this location that today relief is requested. You can see that there are a number of other hotels here, Baymont by Wyndham, Home 2 Suites, and again, this was previously a hotel and now an apartment complex, and the proposal is to place a new hotel here. The particular standard at issue, section 9.5.4, which you can see for a class 4 use adjoining a class 3, a class B buffer is required. And so the petitioner is requesting relief from this 15-foot option. It is also worth noting that there is a 7.5-foot stormwater easement located between these two properties and these plantings that are required here by section 9.5.4 cannot be located within that stormwater easement. And so it's relief from these standards here that petitioner is requesting a waiver from. This petitioner's proposed site plan here, you can see the proposed hotel structure here. At the bottom of your screen would be Abercorn. This would be to the top here, would Plan View North would be your bespoke hotel to apartment conversion. And this is where the buffer relief is requested. Again, the 7.5-foot easement is located here. And this would be the area where the buffer would be expected. You can see on your screen that there are approximately 20 parking spaces that are proposed here. And being that this is a shared parking situation where there's a remaining office use that is here, these parking spaces must be shared between the proposed hotel use and the existing office. And so it's my understanding that these parking spaces are required. And so this is a situation where the petitioner does require relief in some form. It will either be relief from the off-street parking requirement to replace these spaces or relief from the buffer standards, which you are being asked to consider today. So Also, just to give you a visual here of the 7 and 7 foot 5 inch drainage easement that is located here. This is staff's recommendation that behind that 7 foot 6 inches of buffer relief be granted here in order to permit the remaining portion of the 15 foot to be installed, the location of this purple strip here. So with that, staff is recommending denial of the request to waive the variance and alternatively recommends a that 7 feet 6 inches of relief be granted to the 15 foot type B buffer standard with the condition that the 6 foot fencing requirement be maintained between these two uses. So that would be again the 7 foot 6 inch buffer required as well as the 6 foot fence between the two uses. I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right, thank you. Is the petitioner here?
Does that all show? Awesome. Thank you. Yes, I'm Jay Maupin, Maupin Engineering. We're agent for the hotel proposed redevelopment of the office building. Edward did a great job kind of walking you through it, but I'd like to give you a little bit more context of what we're asking for. So as you can see, the main issue here is really the Homewood Suites Hotel that was rezoned and redeveloped into the Spoke Apartments back in December of 21, just before my client bought this property. So on the north, it's bounded by the Residence Inn, and on the south, it's bounded by the Baymont Inn. And you can see those here. And if you can see that picture, that's a view of the Spoke Apartments from the Baymont Inn parking lot. And then, again, you can note that the windows are facing the Baymont here on the Spoke Apartments. Here is a view of the Spoke Apartments from the Residence Inn Hotel on the north side, again, facing the windows on the hotel. Here is the existing additions out there looking from our site. Back to the Spoke Apartments as well. Can you see the mouse? You'll note there's an existing substantial hedge that the Spoke Apartments is actually on the Spoke Apartments side. It's their hedge. You'll note that we actually face the end caps of the units, so there are no windows facing our development. And you'll also note that there's a significant grade change here between the Spoke Apartments and our property. And that will come into play later as I talk about the storm drainage. So really, when the Spoke Apartments was rezoned back in December, the staff report from that rezoning indicates that on the east side of the Spoke Apartments, there was plant or there is a hotel per their staff report. So their staff report in knew that we were in the process and knew that it was intentioned to be a hotel. And also in that staff report, they make the comment that the proposed rezoning of the hotel to the RMF will not have an impact on the surrounding property owners. That's not the case. And I think if the surrounding property owners were aware that any redevelopment of their site as a result of the rezoning, they'd actually be having to give up 15 feet of land on their side of the property line as a result of the change to the Homewood Suites project. They're getting a taking of their property as a result of somebody else's action. and they're not being compensated for it. So I think none of the surrounding property owners would be in favor of the rezoning if they had known that was the case. So what we're asking you is that the buffer that runs through this area actually has a storm drain line that serves all these surrounding property owners and some more even to the south. And so that storm drain line obviously has to be maintained, is utilized by all the properties in there. This parking lot has had some history of flooding as a result of that because the water sheds off into this area. So the per section 9 of the code, this body actually can make some alterations to the buffer requirements as long as it's compatible with what the code's asking. So the additional issue with the storm drain pipe is that I can't plant trees in the immediate area of the storm drain pipe because of the city requirements, city of Savannah requirements, and primarily because of the root impacts and on storm drain pipes, they're not code compatible. So, what we're asking is not elimination of the buffer and not doing anything. If you've ever been to this site, you know that the site is void of any vegetation, really. It's just a parking lot that was built back in the 70s, back in the day, where they flattened everything and paved it over. You'll note from our site plan that we have significant green space that we're going to be adding to this project, such that we're going to be reducing over 20% of the existing impervious surface. So we're asking that we not be confined by the buffer ordinance to have this linear strip of green space in the back that prohibits us from even planting trees in that strip and shrub. We'd only be allowed to really plant shrubs in that space where there are existing shrubs, and the elevation change isn't really going to make much of a screening any which way. The shrubs are going to be too low to be much of a screening on our side. So what we're asking is a elimination of that buffer requirement for that area. I'm happy to answer some questions if you have any.
All right. Are there any questions for the applicant or for staff?
Are you opposed to the staff's alternate?
Again, I understand the intent of that is that they're trying to provide some screening, but I can't plant trees in that space because of the storm drain pipe. So I would rather take that green space and spread it throughout the site where I can actually plant trees and provide some vertical breakup of the existing site. The intent of the ordinance is to provide screening and to an existing hotel that has been converted to apartments. When they redeveloped their site where they just converted it, they didn't provide any screening to any of the surrounding property owners. They weren't all that worried about it. But we have some existing screening between the two properties already, and there's really not going to be any viewing from their property onto ours anyways because we're looking at the end caps of their buildings. So the only thing I can do in that space is shrubs, and that's kind of pointless.
I guess I'm trying to figure out, so if there is no buffer requirement, what is your intention for the transition from your property to the adjacent property?
Well, as you can see on the plan, that we are planting some shrubs in that space, and that's more to soften the fence once we plant the fence, or once we plant the fence, once we put the fence in place. And that's more to soften our side of the fence. And then we will be adding tree islands and other things that the existing parking lot doesn't have, but that would be outside of the buffers, the 7.5-foot buffer zone that the city is requiring. So we are providing the fence. We are providing some green space. But again, I, planting shrubs, planting trees in that space, vertical trees, means that I can't ever go in and maintain that storm drain pipe because the trees are there. I'd have to take the trees out to maintain the storm drain pipe, or I'd have to go on to the adjoining property owner's property, rip out their shrubs and whatnot to get to the storm drain pipe. And again, this is a pretty substantial, significant storm line because it serves all the surrounding properties.
So for practical purposes, if it's a zero buffer, there's still in effect going to be a buffer that's just not going to conform to the requirements of the text.
Right. In my opinion, it complies with the intent. I'm trying to create some screening with the site plan, but it doesn't meet the exact verbiage of the ordinance. And again, this buffer is being placed on my property as a result of my neighbor's rezoning. So to me, this is a inverse condemnation of my property as a result of their taking.
Go ahead, Ms.
Have you considered adding a fence or a wall?
We're planning, if you'll, it's hard to show at this scale, but we are intending the blue line on there is actually a fence that we're planning to put, a 6-foot fence.
6-foot fence, okay. Yeah.
And again, the adjoining property, they built the clubhouse there near us, which is this structure here, which is a single story structure. But the multi-story structure, which would have, we're looking at the end cap of it, so we don't see any windows. So there wouldn't be any windows looking down on us. So the street level view is the prime screening consideration. The existing hedge, the proposed fence, and our tree islands will break that up.
Go ahead, Mister.
I want to make sure I'm seeing what I'm looking at. I can see the cars. It seems underneath the green area.
That's the existing aerial photograph. So it's just a sheet of asphalt right now.
Right. And so as it's proposed right there, is there going to be any change in the curb from side to side and any widening or narrowing of that drainage area, that easement?
There'll be some, but we are going, there's existing storm structures and so forth there. We're going to be adding those parking spaces will all be porous pavers. Because our stormwater's running across and into the pavers and then into the storm structures. And so, we have to get the stormwater over to the storm structures so the pavement will extend to that area.
All right. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So I just want clarification. This is not about, you're not wanting the buffer removed because of, or we're not wanting to stop the buffer being removed because of drainage.
Per the ordinance allows you to vary the requirement based upon existing stormwater facilities. And this is a stormwater facility in this area. What I'm asking for is not to be held to some linear strip where I can only plant shrubs that are pointless and taking my land just to plant pointless shrubs when I could be using that for parking and distributing that green space throughout the site. Just because of the way the ordinance is written where you have to plant it in this linear strip.
As a buffer. There was one objection to this application, and that was from a person who lives on Early Street. Can you clarify for me where Early Street is? I just want clarification. I want to make sure I get the whole picture. Yep. Yep. Okay, he lives at 105 Early.
105 Early?
Yep.
So there's Early, we see White Bluff, Abishan. Okay.
And our properties are right across this, right across Abercorn.
That is correct.
I understand. So his concern is that reducing this buffer will significantly harm his property and his neighborhood by increasing noise, light, and traffic intrusions. Is there any, do you have an opinion on whether that is the case or not? It certainly doesn't seem to me that putting something on the backside of the property is going to adversely or positively affect him one way or the other on the front of the property. Am I correct?
Madam Chair, I would agree. Also, I believe there's a wall at this particular location. You know, it picks up at some point in this area. Yeah, there's a wall there. So
perhaps the height of the building might be a little bit obtrusive to him, but that's not what we have in question here, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. The other concern I had was the size of the parking spaces themselves, but that's not part of the question either. So I guess those were my two concerns. Any other questions, concerns, comments?
I have a question for staff. Could you pull up the staff recommendation again, please?
So you're basically suggesting that he cut the easement or the buffer by half?
That is correct.
Okay. And can we look at the picture and have you visually show us what you, where that buffer would be?
Looking at the aerial imagery?
Looking at the one that the one with the green line on it.
Oh, the site plan itself.
Yes, that one. So you're talking about halfway, and if we did halfway, that would pretty much eliminate his opportunity to park, at least in that.
That is correct. The parking
space. He might be able to do some parallel parking there, but he certainly wouldn't be able to get in as much of parking as he has now.
That's correct.
Given that he really can't plant in that vegetated buffer, right? He can't plant in it because of the stormwater line.
He can't plant the trees anyway.
Right. He can't plant them. Is there a problem just with the – what's the problem if there's just a 6-foot privacy fence? Is there an issue?
If this board deems that appropriate, that is that's a reasonable response to this request.
Coles make a motion that we approve the petitioner's request to eliminate the type B buffer, but to include that there is a 6-foot fence required for the length of that property.
Coles second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Do I have any discussion or any comment? All right. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Milder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Ms. Ross left. Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
All right. Our next item is a variance, a master plan amendment for 420 and 302 Bush Road.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is a request to amend the recently adopted master plan for the McClendon Tract PD. There are two principal parcels, 420 and 302 Bush Road, associated with this development. To look at our future land use and zoning, you can see that these are both now indicated for planned development, and these are the two parcels zoned PD. And as this recently came through MPC and City Council, this is the pod or concept map that was approved, and it generally shows the locations where the developer intended to place those uses that were approved in association with the PD. And we are seeing now the general master plan that is proposed by the developer for a more precise placement of the single family detached, single family attached apartments, amenity areas, and areas reserved for preservation. And so you can see each of those indicated here on the general master plan. Petitioner is requesting to replace this POD map with this more specific general development master plan. And so specific development plans that would come forward following today's hearing would be expected to be consistent with this general development master plan. Among the submittals for the project were this phasing master plan as well. And so you can see how the developer intends to develop the tract overall, the multifamily tract, and that was previously indicated for commercial is no longer, or both indicated as future development sites within this PD. There were also exhibits for stormwater, master stormwater management plan, master water and sewer plan, master utility plans, generally speaking, that were submitted with this as well. And so those will be helpful exhibits. Another one of the central things that we expect from such a master plan is to identify principal routes of circulation. And so we can see the points of ingress and egress that are planned off of Little Neck Road, as well as the internal routes of circulation. So in reviewing this general development master plan, staff found that it is consistent with the intent of the adopted PD district, and that it does clarify essential development details related to circulation, phasing, and utilities. It does not in any way modify the approved text. It gives us the anticipated amounts of acreage to be used for residential development, as well as the acreage preserved. And so future specific development plans are expected to be consistent with this. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval, and the applicant is here to give greater detail on this submittal.
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Would the applicant like to come forward? Don't fight.
Hi, I'm Thomas Beam with Thomas and Hutton.
All right. Would you like to share anything? You're okay with all everything that's been spoken so far?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Don't know. This is my first rodeo, so I apologize.
Hi, this is Mike Hughes with Thomas and Hutton. One of the things I did want to mention is that this is a master plan that falls within the PD. So the zoning was established based on where our multifamily was going to be, where our single family was going to be. And this is really the implementation of the master plan for the single family portion of this. As was mentioned, we do have the multifamily component that's going to be located towards the southeastern portion of the property. That will come back to you as a preliminary development plan, as well as the parcel across the street. So now it's really us getting into the weeds of showing we're following the intent of the zoning and really trying to lay the framework for what the utility is going to be, where the connections that are consistent with the zoning are falling within the property specifically.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Amick.
So this is not about a change in density?
No, ma'am.
Other questions, comments?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Ms. Wilson.
I have a question for staff. So when I was looking at this and doing some looking at this on Sages, this isn't showing up as annexed by the city, and it's not being and it's not showing up with anything being annexed from DCA. How long does that typically take for it to show up on Sages and the property lines to be laid out correctly from the annexation on Sages?
In terms of new property, I'll start with new property lines. I believe from the public viewer, that might be updated annually, and it would take Laura Hall to give you the specifics. But on the staff side, we are able to see what I believe might be a weekly parcel update, but on the public side, you might not actually see new subdivisions for up to a year.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The annexation, I can assure you the documentation is there that was gaveled by the city. So again, these things have taken place, whether or not they're reflected. Sage just displays data from other entities in essence. And so sometimes it does take a minute for that to kind of percolate through our system.
Okay. And, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And a question for the developer. I know that there's been a lot of work with the community with this project, a lot of great, great collaborative work with the community in regard to this project. And I know that there's concerns about just what goes along with construction and the traffic and construction traffic. And I would just.
Road conditions. Sorry. Road conditions.
And the road conditions, which are deplorable out there on Little Neck. And it seems like the last time we discussed, although there is an IGA, there isn't really any money to move forward with improving those roads right now. So I would like to just ask, has there been any, discussions about working with the community and thoughts about construction, traffic,
road maintenance.
Thank you, Robert McCorkle here, also on behalf of the developer. Our discussions with the community are continuous. I was thinking earlier, this may be the first thing that's ever come up in this area that there wasn't somebody from the community here to talk about it. But part of that reason is because we've been working with them kind of consistently throughout this entire process. We sent them this to review and bless before we got here in front of you today. So I don't think we're to the point of knowing exactly how those construction entrances and things are going to work yet. But I assure you that Ms. Bieber and her group and the rest of the neighborhood is on top of us, and we're going to continue to work with them to make sure that we address any issues that they have.
Thank you very much.
Other questions, comments? No, I don't see any public comment cards. I do have, I'm sorry, I have to bother you. I do have concerns about the transportation. Every access that I see is to Little Neck Road. There are several cul-de-sacs, and I do understand that there was a request from the neighborhood not to connect to Bush Road, but there are connections to adjacent properties to the west and adjacent properties to the south, and I don't understand why we don't show any connections outside of to Little Neck Road. This is a community of connections, and all of these subdivisions with no connections flies in the face of the community that is a connected community. So can you address that, please? I'm sorry.
No, yes, ma'am. I understand the concern. We talked about this a lot when we went through this process of getting this property annexed and rezoned. Like I mentioned before, we've worked really hard with the neighbors on this project. I think it's the first project they've ever approved in advance of it being rezoned. And one of their fundamental things was that it not connect to Bush Road.
I understand
If we had sent this in today and before when we did send it to the Neighborhood Association and had shown even the opening for a connection to Bush Road, I suspect that we would have people here today objecting to it. But more importantly, it's a condition to our zoning. And so we have to submit the master plan, we believe, based on that satisfies our conditions and plus the 30-page PUD document that we got approved as well. And so I do understand the concern. But I think we have to meet the requirements of our zoning, which say that we do not access on a Bush Road. I will make the comment that in the rear of the property, that's all wet back there, towards the property line. I mean, the power line, I think you were mentioning mm-hmm. earlier. That's wetland back there. So I don't think that's a concern for whatever that's worth. But
The northwest portion of the property?
Northwest portion of the property is still separate development that we don't control access to.
I understand, but if you had a connection there, that when that property owner came in and said, we want to develop, we could say, okay, you need to connect to your neighbor.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point, we
We don't plan on doing that. I think most neighborhoods probably don't like to have back doors into other neighborhoods for crime and people coming across neighborhoods that you can't control and other things like that.
And ambulances and fire trucks.
We're going to have to meet all the requirements of the city of Savannah in connection with our emergency services. So all I can say right now is that we don't have that connection, but I do I hear your concern.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? And there's no public comment.
Cole's motion to approve the staff's recommendation.
Why would he second?
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Milder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Nochica?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wadwoody?
Yes.
I say no. Motion passes. Our next item is map amendment rezoned from RI to EO to B1 EO, 2209 Shipyard Road.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow. This is a rezoning request in unincorporated Chatham County, specifically at 209 Shipyard Road. You all may remember a parcel directly across the street just to the north. That was on this board's agenda for several months. These properties are similarly situated in that the actions that you're being requested to review are related to code enforcement. This is also the site of an existing non-conforming landscaping business. In looking at the future land use map, you can see that this is indicated by that light yellow, which is a residential suburban single family, a relatively low density. Single-family future land use designation. This is also zoned R1 EO, which is a single-family residential zoning district in Chatham County zoning ordinance. To the north, you can see the previous request was a little bit different in that there were previously existing BN or neighborhood business zoning districts that were on either side, and this was ultimately approved for rezoning to B1, which is a slightly lesser commercial designation by Chatham County. And so today, that very same B1 designation is requested for this parcel. However, it is in the middle of an R1 zoned area. You can see everything here on the south, with the exception of this portion here is zoned R1 in the environmental overlay. That existing non-conforming landscaping business can be seen on your screen right now. This is from Google Street View. There's no principal structure on the parcel. It is inhabited by this small utility structure, as well as you can see a fenced storage area where equipment and vehicles seem to be held. And so in looking at the current zoning district versus that proposed, again, this is a one-family zoning district that does not permit much of anything beyond single-family dwellings, whereas the B1 limited business district shall be for the purpose of creating and protecting areas in which limited business and certain industrial-like activities, which have limited traffic generation and potential, are permitted. Those uses are listed here on the right-hand side. And so some of those, given the fact that this parcel is zoned and subdivided for single-family residential use, would likely be problematic, especially given that those on either side, if such a rezoning were approved, would remain with their single-family residential zoning designation. The petitioner did provide some great photos to show us the status of some of the residences that are in the area. As you can see, they are uninhabitable. They also provided a proposed conceptual plan should a zoning action be approved that would permit this use to continue. They intend to place a dwelling at the center that would likely be used for an office use. You can see that a employee parking area is proposed, as well as a means of ingress egress to get vehicles to the back of the site. The conceptual plan says that trash piles will be removed exclusively for the use of a 6-yard dumpster. And so any waste that was held on site would be held in this dumpster based on the proposed site plan or proposed conceptual plan. One thing that I would like to bring to your attention is that there would be some dissimilar use buffering that would be required. In my assessment, it's likely a type D buffer that would be required here. It says where one family detached residential property adjoins such uses as auto repair and paint shops, motorcycle sales. And I called out type D specifically because type C specifically says not accompanied by outside storage. A landscape business is, in essence, an outdoor storage business. So type C is likely not going to be the appropriate buffer. Nonetheless, that would ultimately fall on the zoning administrator to make that determination. Nonetheless, you would be looking at some buffering standards in addition to other site development standards, as this could potentially become commercial. And so that type D buffer would require 25 feet on either side, as well as a 6 or 8 foot fence meeting the standards of the visual screening buffers of Chatham County zoning ordinance. With that, MPC staff does recommend denial of this request to rezone the subject property, and instead recommends that this board consider rezoning to PDN, which is planned development rezoning for certain non-conforming uses. This is a zoning designation within the Chatham County zoning ordinance that is specifically for non-conforming uses and structures that existed prior to perhaps an established or intended development pattern. There is one caveat here in that this zoning designation is typically requires that parcels be at least 2 acres. Nonetheless, it is still possible that this board could attach the recommendation that this be zoned to PDN. And not only that the site plan could come before this board for its consideration for any other mitigating enhancements or improvements that should be made to potentially make this site, this non-conforming use, appropriate within this district. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Sure. Is the petitioner here?
Yes.
I've learned I can do this with my hands now. Okay. Robert McCorkle here on behalf of Heather and Ike Wright, the property owners who are here with me today. They're also the owners of Delegal Landscapes. The reason for this rezoning, as was mentioned, is to allow them to continue the landscaping use that's already been on this site since about 2018. So for about 7 years, this business has existed on this site, as was the case across the street and with other parcels in this shipyard area that have come before you. The county's been going around with some of the businesses that have existed there. This area was a working community forever. There have been historic businesses in these locations, some of which don't necessarily fit in the locations that they are in, like the garbage company that is on, you know, a few houses or a few lots down from this that operates full Kirby sanitation, operates out of that site with all of their trucks and everything else on the same side of the street that we're on. As was mentioned in the staff report, we were here last year. I was here last year on behalf of Zipper Landscaping, which is directly across the street. We were asked to do B1 in that, which is why we applied for the B1 on this one to be consistent. That one was approved unanimously by MPC and then also by the county commission. I would say to you that despite the zoning letters and numbers that may be on the ground, that this situation is virtually identical to that one. And I'm going to show some pictures, kind of take you through it, just to give you my opinion on that. And I do live in the area and drive by this twice a day. Though this area is zoned R1, I don't think you can describe the properties that are facing the street on Shipyard as residential in nature. This whole area here, this is Whitfield that runs right here, that runs ultimately out to Diamond Causeway. And this is Ferguson, if you can see the cursor, that runs right here. On one side of the street, the entire property, as you know, is already zoned commercial once the Zipper track was rezoned, which was the last remaining residential. It's been done over time in a somewhat of a piecemeal managed manner. Additionally, on our side of the street, there is also commercial farther down from us from Whitfield, which is where the Kirby Sanitation and the historic Allison Mercantile building that long predates our zoning ordinance is in that location. But if you actually look at it, and I'm just going to do a little bit of overhead just to give you a little bit of this flavor.
This is our property right here with the red dot. This is the Little S Shopping Center, which has a gas station and a liquor store here. This is an auto repair facility here that has been there for a long time. This is then the Zipper Landscaping that's across the street. There's a fire station here directly across the street. So all of that is commercial. But as you come down on our side of the street, which is where the cursor is now, this is a vacant lot out here on the corner of Woodfield. It's wooded. It's been vacant forever as far as I know. This is wooded. I think it was a former residence historically that has long since been gone, and it's just an empty lot. This here is an old Durst Bread office that still remains there and is actually a county park that has a playground in the back here. But the old Durst office and the old Durst historic Durst sign is still there on the corner. It's really kind of cool. On this corner, this is a non-residential building, and I'll just show you a picture of it. And sorry, because I can never get these things straight, and Sally gets mad at me every time. The other building is this, which is a non-residential structure, which I think is used for somebody's office. It's covered with a barbed wire fence going around the outside and also has a boat trailer parking on it. And then when you get next door to us, immediately next door to us, this is what we have, which is basically a wooded, undeveloped lot. And then as you go past us and go on the left side, you've got this former residential structure. And as you keep going down, you have this former residential structure. So ultimately on our side of the street, though it is zoned R1, and again, here's our site here as you come down, there is actually one single family residence that exists on our side of the street that is in a residential zone, which is right here. Behind us, we have a church, and that property runs all the way behind us and is vacant back here other than trees and grass. And so we have no immediate neighbor to our rear either. And so other than a single residence that is three lots down from us, we do not have any residential neighbors on any side of us or in any either direction going towards the next block. And then as was mentioned before, this is Kirby Sanitation, which is a full operation of a garbage company on this site, and their trucks leave at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. And that's what's there. This is our site now. I did want to provide an updated picture. The shrubs have grown a great deal since the picture that was on Google Earth that was shown to you before. These things are 10 to 14 feet high now. So you can see this is at 8 o'clock this morning as I drove by here on the way just to take a picture. The site is kept nice and neat. The shrubs are now completely grown up so that when you're sitting out in the street, as I was here, you cannot see into the site at all except for immediately through the driveway. And so they do keep a good sight. Then the plants are grown up. And so what we're proposing to do, and we've submitted this site plan in connection with it, is to add what I would call, I guess there was discussion in the pre-meeting about it being a barn style structure. And I'll show you the pictures, which I don't think you saw, but this is the photos of what this would look like. And so it's a very nice looking building. The intent is that there would be some parking and some storage underneath the building. And then there would be office space upstairs in the building. Ultimately, I think the building could be converted to a residential use, I suppose, if this use ever went away. Although I would venture to say, based on my living out there and going by this, that I doubt that anyone's going to build a single family residence here or immediately adjacent to it, given the uses that surround the property. They also intend to put up a full privacy fence. There's already a privacy fence that encloses a portion of the property. They're going to extend it all the way out to the front behind the hedges that were shown there. As far as zoning criteria, we don't believe it's going to have a detrimental effect on the neighbors. The business has been there for 7 years. Whatever effect it has already been felt, and they don't have any real neighbors immediately anyway in any direction. Their trucks, it's not large equipment. We're talking about trucks and trailers. They come and go between 7 and 8 in the morning, and they come back at 5 or 6 in the evening. And I suspect that most of the time, if you drive by there in the daytime, other than the 4 parking spaces they have for employees that may be there or leaving their cars there, there is no traffic or anybody really coming and going from the office. And so we believe the use is consistent with the reality of what's on the ground going down Shipyard. We're okay with staff's recommendation for the PDN. There's no intent here of adding any bad uses to the neighborhood or changing any use. This is simply to allow this business to continue to operate on this site and build a structure that frankly is going to make the site look a lot better. If we can get this approved and get this project built, it should be very nice looking. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that y'all have.
Thanks.
I don't have a question. It's more of a comment, and it's probably more for staff, and I wish the county manager was here. We've looked at this area before, and it just seems like there needs to be a more holistic approach to it instead of this enforcement of code enforcement for the zoning. Is there any way to request the county to take a look at that stretch of shipyard? Because that garbage company, if you look at the satellite imagery beyond what we were seeing here, they've got like garbage cans out in the woods. Like there's a whole area that says former landfill, you know, can't use it for anything but that. It just seems to me, with the exception of that one single family residence here, that this is all due for a rezoning.
And maybe could be addressed during comp plan review.
Yes, exactly. I'd say the comprehensive plan, the update of the land use section in particular, and looking at the future land use map, there are typically some zoning map updates that would accompany the adoption of a new comprehensive plan for the purpose of obviously giving new policies legs. So, yes, that's more than appropriate in this case.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Stevens.
Mr. McCorkle touched it, and I think you touched it as well in the pre-meeting. Of the uses in this proposed zoning, were there any that staff had any major concern with that they would, I guess, recommend that we strike from the list in the event we move forward as presented?
Staff's original recommendation is that this not be rezoned to a business use, simply because despite what is actually happening on the ground right now, if someone were to purchase a property, the things that they could do without going through some zoning action are to pull a permit to build a residence. So consistent with that, if this board does believe that it's appropriate for this use to continue, the PDN is the best route to achieve that. If this board would like to actually expand the rights of this particular property owner and open the possibility of future uses, it would take some time for me to kind of evaluate. That's given right. The small size of the parcel, that's the first thing that I'm thinking. Once this becomes commercial, it's going to be required to meet a different set of site development standards. And so you're going to have a paved dust-free parking surface. You're going to have you know, stormwater runoff requirements potentially, depending on what you add. And of course, those are things that could be addressed through some sort of site plan relief, you know, with this board. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, to pick out any one or two uses in particular might be challenging.
Yeah.
But
totally fair. I just wanted to kind of have some level of framing, but if I recall correctly, Mr. McCorkle said they are fine with the recommendation made by staff.
Yeah. The PDN that's recommended by staff will basically make the existing use the use and the site plan we submitted the zoning. So we can't do anything else but what we've shown you here today. So there should be no danger to the neighbors.
But then when the next person comes in, they're going to have to rezone it.
They would have to come back and ask to do any changes. And if we want to change kind of the site plan or add a building or do any of that, we would have to come back and ask as well. And then ultimately it's actually, staff's recommendation, and I applaud them for it, makes sense because if nothing else too, it's also it's a placeholder. If they're going to come along and rezone this, which frankly they need to, it needs to be done. But if the whole side's going to get rezoned down to Ferguson, which makes sense, this is really just holds the non-conforming use in place until that would happen.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. That's really the issue here, is get compliance to kind of back off. Mr. Melder, did you have something you wanted to add? Okay. Oh, yes, we do have a couple of people who wanted to speak on this item. They're both online. Let's start with Carol Wilder. Ms. Wilder, are you there?
Yes, self-muted. Can you unmute yourself?
Ms. Wilder, can you unmute your...
Oh, sorry, technology, it's not my best.
Understood. Please state your name for the record.
Sure. It's Carol Wilder, and I live on Railroad Avenue, which basically I'm in the back of that property, said property that wants to change the zoning. And definitely I guess what the concern is it is mid-block, as you guys have mentioned. On the corner where we are, where the barbed wire fence is around the piece of property, it is zoned R1. Then you have the property in question, and then you have a house that unfortunately has been vacant, and then you have three other residences that are R1, and then you have the sanitation company. So in the end, you really have three people who are on Shipyard Road that are being affected by it, but then it also does affect us, because in the end, if you're going to change it, which I think is probably going to have to happen in the future, as much as I don't want it to happen because I would prefer it to stay residential, I need you guys to take into consideration that it is not a corner. You're sitting in the middle of that stretch.
I can't say
that I'm for it, if anything. Not for it at all, because it affects our property value.
That's okay. Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Wilder? All right, I have Gwendolyn Crawford. Ms. Crawford, if you'd state your name for the record when you get on.
Is self-muted too. Can you unmute yourself, please?
Is she there?
Yeah, I don't see any activity.
Ms. Crawford?
She's still muted on her.
All right, if she comes back, let me know.
Okay.
Discussion?
I think that this is the staff's recommendation is the most logical for all the points that were made, that it basically quarantines it until for current use until such time that they take a closer look at the whole area.
I don't know. I'm kind of uncomfortable with doing it's almost like spot zoning in my mind. And honestly, what I'd like to see is there to be a whole more holistic view of what happens with that strip. It certainly looks to me like it's moving in a commercial manner as opposed to a residential manner. But I think until we have comp plan and opportunity for residents to speak about it, that we're really not going to know. The question is whether the code enforcement people would be willing to allow it to continue as it is until such time as we determine what future land use might be advisable. Go ahead, Mr. Melder.
I know this is out of my jurisdiction. So
well,
I feel,
it's
I feel
out
a
my
little freer to talk.
Too, so.
I would say that I think all of that makes sense, Chairwoman. I would say that my concerns with that approach would be you have a property owner who's using the use currently, wants to continue to use this use and to invest money into cleaning up the property in a way that I think would probably increase property values around it, not decrease property values around it, considering that the use is already there. So the property value currently is baked in with that use. The use isn't changing. But adding new to, you know, investing more in that property, cleaning it up, upscaling it a bit, I think increases property values mm-hmm. for property owners around it. I also think if you've got a property owner who's ready and committed to make that kind of development now, and we see that pattern changing, while I don't agree with spot zoning either, it's clear the county zoning ordinance allows this tool in the toolbox for a reason, and this seems like a good reason for it. So those would be my cautions against.
And waiting. It reduces the nuisance of the property as it stands right now.
That's correct. And I know my code compliance officers at the city would love for me to get some nuisances off their plate as well.
And I would just add that we would put the code compliance people in an awkward position to informally ignore a non-compliant property. I think they would be in a better legal standing for us to give direction and go ahead and do this kind of conditional zoning.
Needless to say, could we ask the comp plan people to definitely pay attention to this particular strip of land, not just that parcel, but yes, that whole corridor. Okay.
With that, Cole's motion to approve the staff's recommendation.
Second by Welch.
I want to be clear on what the motion is, because the staff recommendation was to denial, but there was an alternative.
Yes. Sorry, I should have been more clear. So, Cole's motion to approve the staff's recommendation to, rezone the subject property PDN/EO.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Milder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Nochika?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. All right. That takes care of the vast majority of our business today. We do have two additional things that we need to consider. The first is the election of officers. We have a slate. Mr. Notrika, you gave us the slate last time. Would you mind repeating the slate for us of officers? Would you like help with it?
Yes, a little help would be great.
If I recall correctly, it was Travis Coles for chair.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much. Travis Coles, chair. Tom Wywoody, vice chair. Maureen Bowles, secretary. And Jeff Notrika, treasurer. Now, my understanding is we have to do this by each individual voting. Yes or no? Okay. I'm sorry? Yes, we didn't have any nominations last time. Do we need to open the floor for nominations now? I know. Additional. Okay. All right. If y'all are good with moving forward, Ms. Amick, how do you vote on the slate? Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Milder? Oh, he's gone. Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
And I too say a hearty yes. So we have a new slate of officers, and you get to take over at the next meeting. Thank you very much. The last thing that we have here is a recognition. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you do this.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
When will they be sworn in?
They'll be sworn in next month, the first meeting in October.
Okay.
So I've made a call to several of our judges for the October 7th meeting, and there's a lot of conferences going on right now. I'm waiting back to hear from Judge Stokes. All the other ones are at a conference, so there's a possibility it will be October 28th. But the second that I know, I will send all of you an email so that you can be here.
Hang in there.
Okay. How does that go? Does that mean Karen will conduct the early October meeting?
If they can't come on the 7th, then she would still sit in the seat until then.
Thank you very much. All right, Ms. Everett, please.
Pam, your microphone.
He left it. Pamela Everett, I'd like the board to indulge me a little in recognizing David Ramsey for 32 years of service with the MPC.
Woohoo!
David joined the MPC September 9th, 1993, and so I have a little plaque for him, and it reads, "For 32 years of service presented to David Ramsey, sincere gratitude from the MPC for your hard work, dedication, and creativity. You make a difference in the lives of the citizens of Chatham County, Savannah, and the MPC. Thank you for all that you do." For those of you who don't know, David makes these posters for us that are so incredible.
Oh, wonderful.
And and maps. Yep. So every time there's a rezoning, David is a person who creates all the labels and makes sure that everybody's contacted. And he's just one of those people. I say, David, I need X, Y, and Z. And David creates it out of whole cloth. It's like, wow. So congratulations, David. Thank you again for 32 years. I told everybody he started here when he was 10.
Thank you so much.
It's been a long time. I've been working with a great crew here, a great family. And it's been terrific being with everybody. And just, we have a great crew here.
But, and yeah, if we could get a picture with David on the board, we greatly appreciate
it. Okay,
yeah. David's wife actually came in one day and told us how happy David is working here. I was like, wow. He comes home and brags about the work that he does here.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Great place to work.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Stevens.
David was here when I was an intern, and he was one of the people that I really look forward to talking to.
Been here for a long time.
Yeah, when I came in the building, because he was always so pleasant and super helpful with the green college student that was just trying to get acclimated. Wonderful. And learn and see where the maps and everything was. Even if it wasn't what he did, he always helped me or pointed me to the right person. So I appreciate that. Yeah.
Squeeze together.
I'll let Ken do it because Ken always takes better pictures than me.
Yes, very, very briefly, I'd just like to tell you all the next upcoming meetings are going to be very, very important. You all heard kind of a preview to the comp plan coming in the pre-meeting. We've heard some discussion because you can see there's a need to do a little bit of housekeeping with our policy documents. I think over the last couple of years also, we've had some pretty good, you know, teachable moments where we can say we absolutely need to situate our policy documents so that we're all firing, you know, on all cylinders so that we don't have kind of these weird slip through occurrences, right? So the next few meetings are going to be your opportunity to hear and participate and learn about the comp planning process. And in addition to the fact that we have some pretty significant petitions that are coming through in October, both October meetings. Just please be present. Please plan to stay. They will be longer meetings. Most of the comp plan stuff will probably end up being in other business at the very end. So you'll get a full day of school and you'll have some extracurriculars as well. So just attention. There you go. I like that better. So yes, please be here. Please be ready. You know, everybody eat a good breakfast and just come ready to work. So, yeah. Thank you all. Thank you.